The Pat Kenny Show
with Mater Private Network
on News Talk.
Now, for this week's Friday Forum, I'm joined by Mick Barry, Socialist TD for Cork North Central, Lorraine Clifford-Lee, a Fianna Fáil Senator, she is based in Dublin Fingal, and Aoife Grace Moore, political correspondent with the Irish Examiner, is joining us remotely. Good morning and welcome to you all. We'll talk initially, although we've almost talked this through, the National Maternity Hospital, just to get everyone's take on this. I'll go to Aoife for the overall analysis of it and where it stands, but Mick, what do you think?
I think the government have run a campaign over the last week and a half to try and convince the general public on this issue. And I think that broadly speaking, they have failed to do so. The argument is put forward that there's a lot of misinformation. But I think there is basic information that relates to this, which make people deeply unhappy about the government's proposals. In particular, I would identify the fact that the land on which our National Maternity Hospital is to be built is rented from a company established by an order of nuns. And I would identify the fact that three seats on the board of our National Maternity Hospital are to be filled by the same source.
Yeah. Now, they would argue, by the way, it's a whole medical complex there with three hospitals in situ, a private hospital, a voluntary hospital and the maternity hospital. And that if that board is going to be in charge of the whole management of the site, well, they should have three people on board. I mean, that'd be their argument.
They would make that argument. And the deal was originally put together in the years preceding repeal. And I think the country has changed. And I think attitudes have changed. And I think what the government might have gotten away with 10 years ago, they're not going to get away with now. And they haven't succeeded in convincing people on it.
Now, the business of building something on a leasehold, I mean, famously, I mentioned during the week, Arthur Guinness got a 999-year lease on the St. James's Gate site. And God knows they've built and knocked down and built again many times on that site, with no effect on the product and how it's enjoyed.
That's very true, but I don't think it's the greatest comparison in the history of the world with respect to compare making stout on the one hand.
People carry on in commerce on leasehold properties.
Yes, but my point, I think, still retains validity. There is a big difference between talking about production of stout and services such as termination facilities for the women of Ireland.
Lorraine.
I just want to clear up a few things. There is no religious ethos involved in this at all. Absolutely none. Peter Boylan admitted that yesterday in at the committee. Simon McGarr, the solicitor who was there, admitted that the nuns are gone. The religious are gone from healthcare in Ireland. And that's a fact. So it's completely incorrect to say that. The land ownership, leasehold is a completely valid form of land ownership. And again, the lawyer in at the Oireachtas yesterday on behalf of Peter Boylan and his supporters said there's actually no problem with leasehold land. It's done all the time, all across Dublin city centre. Leasehold is a completely normal way of holding land and to carry on ownership. But, you know,
wasn't the concern, though, that with three members of a board nominated by the representatives, I suppose of a religious
ethos. Religious are gone.
No Mother Mary Aikenheads, that informs their board.
It doesn't.
Well, it is in their articles of association.
No, all the doctors and nurses, midwives that are operating in the National Maternity Hospital as it currently stands have said that they provide the best of medical care to the women of Ireland, and they will continue to do so. No religious interferes with their work currently. And in fact, the chairperson of the current National Maternity Hospital is the Archbishop of Dublin. That'll be gone. It'll be completely gone in the new maternity hospital. So there is no interference. They're providing fantastic leadership currently in the provision of maternity care and termination services and all other gynae issues.
Espouse absolutely, unlike some government deputies, for example, and senators who, you know, had caveats about the government's proposals, you support them wholeheartedly.
Well, I've been following this issue for a number of years, and like Mick, I was involved in the repeal campaign and other campaigns prior to that. And I am the co-chairperson of the Oireachtas cross-party group on reproductive health and rights. So I'm very, very much on the same side as Mick in relation to this, but I don't have fears in relation to this.
Okay.
I have listened to the people involved in drafting these agreements and the people that are, have been delivering the services, and they are saying to us that there is no risk here. They want us to get on and build it because the women of Ireland can't wait any longer. And we're forgetting as well, Pat, that the gynae lists are astronomical in Dublin. If you need any sort of care, so it's not just maternity services. If you need any sort of care beyond it, you're not seen to for years, and that's not a sustainable situation.
Aoife Grace Moore, political correspondent with the Irish Examiner. Aoife, is this argument over now? Do you think?
I think it is. I was actually just still sitting at my car. I was just at a press conference with the Taoiseach, and he was saying, you know, that he's very confident that there are cast iron guarantees, legal guarantees about the control of the hospital. You know, the government have trotted out this line a lot of, you know, effective ownership. You know, there was calls yesterday that the health committee wanted more time. They wanted another pause. You know, we're in the first week of a 2-week pause. They wanted another pause. Minister Donnelly does not seem minded to do that. There will be a protest in Dublin tomorrow, but I don't think it's going to sway the dial at all. It seems very much now that the government have made up their mind, they've made their decision, and the opposition are still going to be deeply unhappy about it. And I actually think there's some people around the cabinet table that if they were in opposition, they would be at the rally on Saturday. But obviously that's the nature of government. But I do think this argument is over. Yeah. I cannot see the government.
And I mean, Peter Boylan was talking about, you know, bringing in the board and trying to get their take on it. But Minister Pascal Donoghue on this programme this morning said they've no powers of compellability to bring the board in to answer the kind of questions that Peter Boylan wanted to ask. So therefore, no point in further delay, I would suspect. I'm going to stay with you.
They can't compel them, but they could still ask them to come on. They can still be invited. They can't be compelled, but they could still be invited. I think we've seen from opinion polls that the public are really not behind this decision. You know, I think when you're at the stage of watching the Taoiseach doing social media videos and ministers doing social media videos trying to sway the public, they know, the government know that this is not popular, and they have in their, to be fair to them, you know, put out a lot of information. They've tried to be as transparent as possible, but the information that they are putting out is either not permeating or people aren't happy on a point of principle.
I think it's probably something that the leasehold thing bothers people, that you put
a 1 billion
facility on someone else's land, and that they, in the law, have ownership of buildings on the land and any subsequent buildings that might be built.
It's 299 years of lease. Like, leasehold is a very common form of ownership. And like a lot of people who own houses and apartments around the city centre, it's held in leasehold. So it is ownership.
Yeah, but it's just the idea of starting building something from scratch, €1 billion on someone else's land. You know, people would be thinking, this is only the layman's view, not the legal eagle's view. There must be a better way. That is the disquiet, I suspect.
Because people are conflating a long lease of 299 years with a 12-month lease that you might have while you're renting a house or an apartment, and they're not comparable.
Well, maybe a brief final comment on this, because I know you're keen to move on there. I think it is a case, Lorraine says, the nuns are gone. But if the nuns are gone, the Catholic lay successor organisation lives on. And isn't it a real commentary on some Fine Gael and Green Party politicians that your political analyst comes on this morning and says there are people in the cabinet who are going to put their hands up for this, who'd be on the demonstration on Saturday if they were in opposition? I mean, what does that say about the Green Party?
How can a board interfere with what
a minister with a golden chair can? And that's the design of the golden chair.
Look, the day-to-day running, Pat, it's not credible to say that the midwives and the doctors and nurses and everybody who works there will be interfered with by board members.
And no one thought that Roe versus Wade would fall in the United States.
It's a completely different situation.
Anyway,
we can't conflate the two, Pat.
But you also can't anticipate the future. Aoife, the present I want to talk to you about, because even at this moment, Geoffrey Donaldson is talking about the DUP's decision not to vote for a speaker, which puts the future of the Assembly on the line.
Yeah, I think the phrase of the day is disappointed, not surprised, Pat. I mean, we all anticipated that this was going to happen. The DUP collapsed dormant back in February because they said that they had issues with the protocol. If you were being cynical, you could say that maybe they collapsed dormant because they knew that they wouldn't be the biggest party after the election, and they were deeply uncomfortable about getting in second place. The protocol is not going to be sorted anytime soon by the looks of it. We've had incredibly strong comments from Simon Coveney, the Taoiseach, this morning, saying that, you know, the British are changing the rules all the time. You know, they're never going to be satisfied with this. This is an agreement that Boris Johnson negotiated and signed, and now he doesn't want to play by the rules. It is making it incredibly difficult for the EU. They're losing a lot of patience. You know, from what I have picked up from Simon Coveney, the relationship between the EU and the UK is in the absolute bin. I think it's really disappointing because the people who are going to pay the most price for this are the people of Northern Ireland. There was a democratic election, and they should have to go back now to Stormont and take their seats like other democratic governments. Geoffrey Donaldson has co-opted the former MP Emma Little Pengley into his seat and went back to Westminster. That also has come as a surprise to absolutely nobody, that he didn't ever actually see himself come back into Stormont, because he knew he was going to go back to Westminster, because he knew the protocol wasn't going to be
started. And do you think that Geoffrey Donaldson anticipated the Assembly would never get going because they wouldn't vote for a Speaker, and that therefore he might as well have a job?
Absolutely, and he gets paid more in Westminster. So the issue is, like, this is all politics to them, but what really bothers me, and it bothers a lot of people, is, like, the issues that affect the people in Northern Ireland on the ground. The health service in Northern Ireland is on its knees. There is a 10-year draft budget that needs approved that can't be approved without an executive. There's £300 million in a bank account for Northern Ireland that cannot be spent until an executive is reformed and they can sign it off. It is the people on the ground in Northern Ireland that are going to pay the biggest prices. And the DUP, if it gets to 6 months' time and there's another election, the DUP will be held to account for it on the doors, because the last time Stormont collapsed, it was so deeply unpopular with the public that Sinn Féin and the DUP had a terrible time trying to get voters back on their side.
Yeah, I'd like to raise somewhat of an alternative view on this.
Yeah.
So I think we can agree that the agenda of Boris Johnson and the Tories is a right-wing reactionary agenda. And I certainly would be of the view, and I suspect I may not be alone here in the discussion, in saying that the Democratic Unionist Party are a deeply sectarian party. All right, so we're agreed on that.
No, we're not necessarily agreed on it. There are some decent people in the DUP.
Okay, but the essential point that I wish to make is this, is that when there were concerns expressed and strong opposition voiced here to a hardening of the border north-south, right? That was a view that was widely shared. I think it is somewhat of a double standard that when there are concerns expressed and strong opposition voiced to the hardening of the border east-west, that those views are in some quarters ridiculed and in other quarters minimised. And I'm not talking about DUP politicians here. I'm talking about the ordinary Protestant working class person, a young person, someone who's in an office or in a factory today.
They don't seem to be concerned about the protocol. And also, it's what their government, the UK government, signed up to. They like it or not.
I'm not sure your point about the protocol is correct. The Democratic Unionist Party lost a lot of votes in this election. And the vast bulk of them, they lost them to the traditional unionist voice. So this is something that needs to be factored into the discussion here that isn't given sufficient attention to, in my view.
Lorraine.
It's really upsetting, Pat, to be watching Geoffrey Donaldson on our screen here talking and to actually hear and see what he did this morning. It's really, really cynical. I think Ireland, once again, is collateral damage in a Tory party leadership tussle. It's really, really upsetting to hear and see Liz Truss briefing the media. The protocol has been good for Northern Ireland. They're doing better than the rest of the UK currently, notwithstanding the crisis that's currently afoot with the war in Ukraine. So it is a good situation. The people of Northern Ireland have been let down once again by unionism in relation to this issue. And Aoife hit the nail on the head there. There is money that needs to be spent on health services, on education, on housing, and that can't be spent while there's no government there. And I'd like to also point out, Boris Johnson and his government have promised language legislation and language rights to Irish speakers in the north, and it has been promised for a long time. We are protesting in Belfast, and there's a big protest next week in Belfast in relation to this. They've promised it for years and they haven't delivered on that. So they are ignoring the needs of the people of Northern Ireland once again, and it is extremely distressing.
I'm not surprised at them breaking promises of a minor nature, not that the language is minor, but compared to the big stuff like an international treaty that they signed, that they, in other words, the Good Friday Agreement they were prepared to jeopardise, and now the latest treaty, the Brexit treaty, if you like, they're prepared to walk away from elements of that.
Well, I wouldn't say language rights are a minor issue, they're a human right, but I get your point there that they have been breaking promises time and time again. It's disgraceful behaviour, and I'm glad to hear that our Taoiseach and our Minister for Foreign Affairs have taken such a strong stance on behalf of the people of Ireland.
If it does, Brexit and the war in Ukraine, sort of, there are two opposing forces for Boris Johnson. He's using, if you like, his bravado in relation to the war in Ukraine to disguise his discomfiture at the outcome of Brexit.
It's got to the point now where I think Brexit in Westminster and in the Tory backbenches, I think Brexit is a state of mind more than anything else. I think, you know, and it's been said, and it was said a lot during the election, but, you know, the DUP have placed all their trust in Boris Johnson, and anyone who has ever placed their trust in Boris Johnson could tell you that is a road to nowhere. I feel very sorry for unionist communities. I to one point of what Mike said, there are concerns about the protocol. Those concerns are mostly cultural, and I totally understand for unionist and loyalist communities that they do not want anything that separates them from Britain, because they are British. However, the UUP also have issues with the protocol, but the UUP are willing to go back to Stormont. So it is not good enough to say that we are minimising the concerns over the protocol, and that's justification for not going back to Stormont, because it's not, because although Doug Beattie has major concerns about the protocol, he's still willing to go.
Final words today to you, Mick.
Yeah, it's important, I think, when we discuss Northern Ireland, that it's, you know, not all about the protocol. I visited Belfast 2 weeks ago, and I went out and I stood on picket lines with workers in the Caterpillar factory. Used to be based in Belgium, used to pay €30 an hour. Workers doing very similar work in Belfast now being paid £11 an hour. Very good to see cost of living being taken up in an active campaigning way by workers in the north. And this has to be part of the discussion about the north as well. It's not all about the flags and the borders.
We leave it there. Mick Barry, Socialist TD for Cork North Central. Senator Lorraine Clifford Lee of Fianna Fáil, based in Dublin Fingal. And Aoife Grace Moore, political correspondent for the Irish Examiner. Thank you very much. A reminder that our items from today are uploaded as podcasts, which you can listen to in the Newstalk app, powered by Go Live.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Matter Private Network.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.